What does it take to be an entrepreneur, and how is it changing in our ever-evolving business landscape? This is Scott Galloway, host of the Prof G Podcast and an entrepreneur myself. Right now, we've got a special three-part series running all about the future of entrepreneurship. We're answering your questions on work-life balance, how to raise capital for your business, and more. Because when you're an entrepreneur, it's always important to look ahead at what's to come. So tune in to the Future of Entrepreneurship, a Prof G Pod special sponsored by Mercury. You can find it on the Prof G Pod feed or wherever you get your podcasts.
Welcome to the Acme Packing Company podcast feed. I'm Justice Mosqueda. This is the Repack. I'm joined here by Evan Tex Western. Say what's up to people, Tex.
What's up, everybody? Sorry, it's been a long couple weeks. Christmas Day games or Christmas Eve games are rough.
So, buns. I hate them. Oh. I don't like working them. I understand the league just prints money off of them. What is it? I saw there was some number that like the NFL 10 times what the NBA did for viewership on Christmas Day.
Insane.
This time, so.
I mean, it helps that they had at least one really, really good game on Christmas Day with that San Francisco-Baltimore one. But
yeah, true.
Even so. Hey, guys, we're sitting in the seventh seed again. That was fun. And we just beat piss out of the Vikings.
Which is even more fun.
Oh, yeah. Man. That was great.
Dude, I harassed the Reef through DMs and publicly all this week. First of all, apologies for the intercepted episode this week. I literally am so dumb that I just left it in the drafts on Friday. Didn't hit publish, so that's why you guys didn't get to hear it until Saturday. But yeah, Arif was like, there's no way you actually think Jordan Love is any good. Oh, buddy. He's gonna have to live that one down. Love played Man, extremely well.
And NFC North fans are going to be very sad for another 10 to 15 years. Man.
We're back. Oh. That's what I keep saying. Every stat I'm getting, I just DM Arif and say 15 more years. 15 more years. Yeah. So Joe Barry got a game ball and the team didn't want to put it on video. It was pretty funny. So the team sends out like these videos of, you know, the post game, you know, locker room speech that LaFleur does, right? Usually involves game balls. Doesn't necessarily just like give one out, right? Like maybe there's a couple standout performances. It's funny because you get, I think it's like a minute 20 something seconds into it, you see Joe Barry holding a football, but they never showed Joe Barry actually getting the game ball from Matt LaFleur. So I am feeling a little bit of anxiety going into 2024 that Barry is in a position where maybe a three-game stretch at the end of the season, we're talking at this point, like including a wild card performance, if they can, you know, pull off an upset there, could potentially save his job. I think that is still on the table at this point, even though that is something Packers fans probably don't even want to think about, consider any of that stuff. We ran a poll last week about, you know, do you consider this team a success, right? And about three quarters of people said, yeah, this team, we count this season as a success. The offensive side, overwhelmingly, people called it a success. 1% of people called the defense a success. he's got to be the least popular guy in Green Bay right now. And I don't know, but like, dude, Matt does, like, every indication is that Matt does not want to fire him. So I would keep an eye on that situation moving forward. Like, if, I don't know, if you hold the Bears to like 0 points, like, I think it's possible. It's possible.
You have such an incredibly bad 3-week stretch, Giants, Bucks, Panthers. And like some of us kind of talked about that, maybe that Panthers game was the best case scenario, right? The defense plays so bad that you can't imagine Barry coming back, but they still find a way to win the game anyway. And then, I mean, they came out and they actually looked like they had a competent game plan against, you know, a rookie quarterback who was clearly in over his head, blitzing him a lot more than the Packers usually do. Yeah. And then, you know, they switch over to Mullins and still bringing some pressure on him a little bit, and the
Were you
pass
worried when
rush.
Mullins came in and
No.
you were like, I was a little worried because the Packers weren't able to. I mean, they could have put their foot on their throat, right? I mean, I think there were like two other opportunities in the first half that the Packers could have gotten points when they didn't. And I was like, I don't know, man. I don't know if, 20 points was enough. So
No,
I was a little worried.
I was not concerned at that point. And I mean, look, again, the Vikings' only touchdown came after the muff punt, which, by the way, Samori Toure just what went on injured reserve with a injured ego today? I don't know. I don't know what that transaction's all
I don't
about.
know, but that entire game was just like, oh yeah, Bo Melton is why we're not going to hear about Samori Toure for a long time. There would be had to be several injuries, and yeah, they basically get swapped today. I think the Packers still have one more open roster spot, because they've had a cluster of all these transactions. But if I'm keeping track of this right, the Packers are only at 52 players, so they can bring someone up. And the main person you look at, I would think, is Musgrave, right? He'd be the one you consider there. So.
The other hilarious thing coming out of this game, right, is we're gonna go back, 10 years from now, and say it's gonna be a trivia question: who was the first Packer in the 2023 season to record a 100-yard receiving game that year? And Bo Melton's gonna be the answer. And if anybody actually believed that he was gonna be the first guy to do it this season, you are a liar, and I don't want to hear it.
I have Bo Melton in my Madden franchise that I have with a couple other sports writers, and all he does is run the end arounds for me. So
I mean, he's probably got like a 95, 96 speed, right? Like,
good speed. You could get him for
yeah.
cheap. Yeah, get him
Yep.
off of the practice squad. That's
Love
what I've been doing.
it.
Packers offense just looking in general. Aaron Jones, 120 yards rushing. Patrick Taylor, I know, 8 for 30 does not look, or AJ Dillon, sorry. 7 for 27 doesn't look impressive. I didn't realize Taylor and Dillon got the equal split. I guess that's because of the end of game stuff when like Sean Clifford came in and stuff like that too. Dillon's numbers don't look impressive, but I thought he was running pretty hard. It was a fun little chess match, and I'm really excited about the fact that Love can play those games now. 'Cause I mean, we had the worries about, I mean, just it happens in the NFL where you have a young quarterback and you kind of tether yourself to a center because you don't really want to change up that whole protection. I guess like the mechanics of how you're going to call out protections and stuff like that. And I think that might have something to do with why Josh Myers has kind of been the uncontended center for the Packers. I mean, from the first play of the game, Jordan Love is out there barking stuff at the offensive line based off of what the Vikings are doing. The Vikings will check to his check and then he'll get into another check. Thought that was really nice to see. I mean, that's a veteran thing, and we're seeing this out of a first year quarterback who, by the way, is like what, fifth in EPA since the first Vikings game. So like, I don't know, guys, are we not supposed to be excited? I'm pretty excited right now.
Yeah, I mean, I know the Vikings had a bunch of guys out on defense. DJ Wonnum, I think, was out. He's one of their top pass rushers, but I mean, they've still got Danielle Hunter. There's still some players on that front seven, and they got a combined total of 3 quarterback hits and 0 sacks on Jordan Love in this game. Well done, guys.
Josh Metellus, I know everyone talks about him as a special teams guy, and he does all sorts of stuff. He basically plays like edge defender sometimes from like the safety position and all that stuff. They abused him in coverage. I mean, there was a couple times it was just one-on-one they would take advantage of him. There was the what was it? There was the long like crosser that looked wide open, and the reason for that was because Bennett or Metellus, sorry, was basically asked to do like a baseball turn in the middle of the field as like kind of a post safety type of situation, and he just cannot make those movements and just ended up losing the crosser. They had a good game plan for this game. I was pretty excited to see that because, they had weeks against some of these blitz fronts teams that were not the best, right? But then they also had, you beat Spagnuolo, you do all that stuff, right? So I thought it was good to see. As far as the playoff stuff goes, made it real simple for us.
It's
Winning in,
easy.
baby.
It's easy.
Win and in.
I had it in today's cards, right? Like this is where we were last year. And so
Yep.
it feels very familiar. They just need to make damn sure that they don't come out flat like they did in week 18 last season. And I don't know, based on everything that we're hearing coming out of this team, just feels like a totally different vibe than where it was last year to me. They're young. They don't know that they weren't supposed to be in this position. They're just gonna go out and play and have some fun with it. And I don't know. I feel good about where this team is at and how they match up with Chicago.
You excited for if it's a loss, Jordan Love going to the press conference and saying, hey, I don't know if I'm going to be here next year. I don't know. I'm so happy to not have to fucking deal with that
Oh my
5
God.
seconds after dealing with a heartbreaking season-ending loss. God damn. Good luck, Jets. There is technically ways for the Packers to not win and make it in. I'm going to spare you of the tie scenarios. If the tie pops up, we'll talk about it when we get there. But if Minnesota loses and Seattle loses, the Packers need either Tampa to lose or the Saints to lose to advance into the playoffs. So you need three teams. In both scenarios, Minnesota and Seattle both need to lose, and then it's either Tampa or New Orleans. So
And
that's how that goes.
that's what Minnesota's got Detroit in Detroit.
Does Detroit have anything to play for at this point? They must have seeding.
I think they're locked into the three seed. I
They
think
just
that's
have to
what I
win.
saw, but I saw it on Twitter today. There was somebody talking about, is Campbell going to play any of his guys because they have nothing to play for? And knowing Dan Campbell, like,
He'll probably play, I would guess.
yeah.
I mean, maybe they sit him after a half or something, but he doesn't seem like a guy who wants to
Yeah,
sit
well,
out
and
guys for a whole game.
now that I'm looking at it, there is seeding. They could still end up as the either the two or the three, depending on what happens with the NFC East. So yeah, there is some seeding on the line for them.
And then Seattle must be playing Arizona,
Yes.
which I don't know. I mean, well, I guess the Cardinals just beat the Eagles, but
Yeah, and that one I think is in Air. Yep, that one's in Arizona, and then we got Vikings, we got Seahawks, and then you said it was
Tampa to New
the,
Orleans.
that's right. So they're both playing. You're gonna have to cheer for the Falcons for in the early game against the Saints because I don't see the Panthers pulling off an upset against the Bucks. But
What
I
do you mean? The
mean,
Panthers played us so well 2 weeks ago.
yeah, and then did what exactly in
Nothing.
week
It
17?
was like 50 net passing yards once you include all the sacks and stuff.
Oh
Just
my God.
embarrassing. Again, I understand why Packers fans are anxious about bringing Joe Barry back. I also don't think that he's good at his job. We'll see what defensive coordinators are out there in the market. I still kind of hope they look at the college level more than anything else.
Jimmy, come home, Jimmy.
Come home. James, come home. Mama's calling. Anything else that we want to touch on this game before we get into the vibe checks? I'm trying to look here.
I mean, couple of injuries popped up, right? Jaden Reed got banged up,
Yeah.
basically didn't play at all in the second half after having 90 yards and two scores in the first half. That first touchdown to Reed, where he finally he ran the route the right way, the because he had that same kind of play against the Vikings in that first game, and he flattened his
Yeah.
route off too much and kind of ran into the safety. This time he cut it upfield better and. Just that was an absolutely bonkers throw from Jordan Love. Just the way he kind of torques his body and puts it on a dime 40 yards downfield. That's, I mean, we've seen some really good throws from him this season. I'm thinking of the one just a week or two ago to Reed in the back corner of the end zone, but that one physically, is right up there. And I think, his top maybe three or four from this season.
15 more years, baby.
Let's
15 more years of this.
do it.
Meanwhile, the Vikings are going to have to give a contract to what, 35-year-old Kirk Cousins coming off of an Achilles tear? Let's go, baby. This is
Have fun with
perfect.
that. Oh, yeah.
Chicago has no idea what they want to do with the quarterback situation. Detroit is about to pay Jared Goff. We are back, baby. Keyshawn had 11 tackles. Holy crap. How did that happen?
He was in on everything. And yeah, it wasn't that it was one of those where he was, you know, they were just getting picked on down the field. He was just in everywhere. I don't know. He another, you know, 85% snap game for him, which is pretty standard for, you know, the Packers' usage of him and nickel. But yeah, 11 tackles on 45 snaps.
Crazy.
Yeah, he was a madman.
Nuts. Anders?
Ah,
Anders?
that's
No
what I think.
more.
That's five PATs he's missed this season.
Yeah.
I'm pretty sure that's a league high. Really glad that one didn't come back and bite us in the ass.
I'm gonna look up kickback touchback percentage. 'Cause I was shocked when I looked this up a while back, how low the Packers were. Yeah, the Packers are still last in the NFL in touchback percentage this year. And they were last year. They were by a significant margin last year. This year, it's just kind of, they're at least within, striking range of the other low teams. But like, to Dallas's kicker that they got out of the MLS and then, what was it, USFL.
Yeah.
He's getting touchbacks at 93% clip. Green Bay's at a 45% clip. I mean, literally half of that.
Anders is supposed to have a big leg too, right? Like, and in this
Yeah.
game, you're indoors, so obviously you've got perfect conditions, and he only put one of seven touch or kickoffs in as a touchback. I know Nwangwu was probably taking a couple of them out a little bit, but even so, like, just boot those things through the back of the end zone.
In their last three, the Packers have a touchback percentage of 26%. Pretty bad.
Not great.
Oh, so, yeah. This is 22. So 22, the number was 22.5% of the kicks going for touchback. So technically,
Slightly better than
we've doubled. So what, 22.5, 45 next year, 90%, right? That's how this is
Let's
supposed to
go.
work.
Let's do it.
All right.
Yeah.
Let's take a break and then we'll get into vibe checks.
What does it take to be an entrepreneur, and how is it changing in our ever-evolving business landscape? This is Scott Galloway, host of the Prop G Podcast and an entrepreneur myself. Right now, we've got a special three-part series running all about the future of entrepreneurship. We're answering your questions on work-life balance, how to raise capital for your business, and more. Because when you're an entrepreneur, it's always important to look ahead at what's to come. So tune in to the future of entrepreneurship, a Prop G Pod special sponsored by Mercury. You can find it on the Prop G Pod feed or wherever you get your podcasts.
Support for this show comes from Sylvan Learning. As a parent, you want your child to have every opportunity. But giving them the tools they need to tackle every challenge, that takes a team. Now more than ever, educational support tailored exactly to what your child needs can make all the difference. That's why parents have trusted Sylvan Learning for 45 years as the ultimate teammate in their child's educational journey, instilling in them a love for learning and a passion for reaching the next level. And Sylvan's Insight Assessment can identify gaps in learning and areas that could be of concern for your child. It's a 360-degree view into your child's learning that you can't find anywhere else, and helps ensure that your child didn't miss something in school that might put them at a disadvantage in the future. And right now, it's the best price of the year at $29. Go to sylvan29.com to learn more and get your child's assessment for only $29. That's sylvan29.com.
And we're back. All right, off at the side of the ball. Obviously, right? I mean, 100-yard rusher, 100-yard receiver. Jordan Love throws three touchdowns. That's all thumbs up. I want to talk about the offensive line real quick.
Yeah.
How many snaps did Sean Ryan actually playing this game? Because I know he was in for the second drive.
Yeah, so looking at the snap counts, Ryan had 39 snaps. Where is Runyon had 42. Ryan probably came in for a little bit late in the game, you know, when Clifford
Yeah.
came in for that last drive or two. But I mean, it was close to a 50-50 split in this game.
Interesting. Keep that in mind when we talk about the draft this year. I know we're still in season mode, but I think left tackle and right guard are potentially spots that could be wide open. And then who knows what you do with the center situation moving forward.
I mean, we got to remember John Runyon's in a contract year, so he's going to be a free agent this spring. If they're already kind of phasing him out of the offense to some extent, find it hard to believe that they're going to make a serious run at extending him unless he comes back with basically no market at all. I mean, he's definitely hitting the market when free agency opens for sure, right? And yeah, I have a hard time imagining he comes back unless he has just no market whatsoever. And, you know, he takes a cheap 1 year deal to come back and try to, you know, earn his starting job back.
Yeah, and even then it seems like I mean, we've talked about this with like practice squad guys before, right? Where it's like, you give him 2 years, you still haven't moved up to the 53. Like at some point you just gotta move on or go somewhere else. Same thing, if you're on the 53, you get re-signed to the practice squad, don't come back up that entire season, right? Maybe you sign a futures deal with someone else because you just need a different set of eyes on you and you're not getting any film, right? Runyon went from an uncontested starter to a guy who's rotating in games. So, that's a pretty hard sell to say, like, hey, I want to go back. I would assume his agent or representation or whatever would probably be in his ear trying to tell him, like, you need to go somewhere else where you can be the full-time guy instead of do this split time thing again. So.
Yeah. The other thing from the snap counts on the O-line that I thought was real interesting was Rasheed Walker played 100% of the snaps. We have not seen Nyman, I think, in either of the last two games in meaningful
Yeah.
action. I mean, the only eight snaps he got again were that Clifford drive. He came in at right tackle for Zach Tom instead. So yeah, that's another one where don't see any way he's back next season.
Yeah. That whole situation was so weird because the way
Yeah.
that they talked about it was very Harry High School, to be honest. Where they were like, yeah, we got to give them both snaps so they're both engaged throughout the week. I'm like, what? Josh Nyman's making $4 million. He's got to be a free agent next year. Why isn't he locked in, even if he's working off of the bench? I don't get it. Very odd. I'm excited to see what type of tomfoolery they're going to pull on the offensive line the first week of the playoffs. That's gonna be great. It'll be like, yeah, Sean Ryan, you are now the starting left tackle. Congratulations. I hated that. The Billy Turner thing at left tackle against the Niners is still scares me to this day. Overall offense, good. Thumbs up. They're doing it with all the receivers now. All the receivers can get touches. Romeo Doubs, not a great day in terms of the strong hands branding. I got hit with a couple of those during the game.
There were a couple of rough moments for him. But man, Bo Melton, what a game.
Dude, I
What a
mean,
freaking game for this guy. I mean, and you could tell
look at
coming out,
Sam
right?
Calgado. Yeah.
Yeah, you could tell coming out right out of the gate too that he was going to be a big part of the game plan,
Yeah.
because they got him a couple of scheme touches, I think, on the first drive or two, and then he just, you know, took off from there. Especially when Reed went out after, basically after halftime, because Reed had like eight targets in his 23 snaps, so he was going to be the guy, and then yeah, Melton just kind of took over that role and ran with it.
I saw more out of Melton than I saw out of Toure in the 2 years that we've had him. So, and I'm a, I want Toure to succeed. I remember watching him at Montana. He's a Portland kid. I know some of the people who like work with him and stuff like that when he's back home. I know Toure is a guy who works out with Love in the off season and all that stuff because they're both on the West Coast. I think Melton's the better football player, and that's really what it boils down to. And I mean, Toure, even if he's on like the P squad next year, like you're still having to deal with Dubose too. Like this is a pretty, in terms of the depth of the team, like there's going to be a lot of competition there at wide receiver next year. So pretty excited about that.
Yeah, I think this is one of those instances where, you know, going through the growing pains of having this really young receiver core in the first half of the season or so, and, you know, having so many guys rotating in and out of the lineup with injuries, just really allowed some of these guys to develop and get those reps they need, to develop a little. I mean, you've seen it with Wicks. The more he's been getting worked into the offense, I mean, he almost cracked the 100-yard mark a week or two ago. Now Melton's getting in. Reed's kind of always been in the game plan from day one as a rookie. But the more reps these guys are getting, it just seems like they're really blossoming in front of our eyes here, and it sets up to be a pretty fun receiver unit for next season.
Someone remind me in July to get that Sports Illustrated cover with Rodgers and all the receivers and swap out the faces. Obviously, we're going to need more tight ends involved in there.
Yep.
That will be a fun trolley type of post. Did you see in the Slack someone put in Christian Watson's dad and his thoughts on Toure?
Oh, no. I didn't realize that was Watson's dad.
Yeah, it's what. He's tweeting. He loves to tweet. This was his tweet. This was a quote from Rob Westerman III, who said, "Why is Samari Toure on the field? No offense, but hasn't he proven he isn't an NFL player? Goodness gracious." And he quote tweeted Christian Watson's dad. "In reality, Samari is an extremely sure-handed returner. Of course, this play doesn't illustrate that and doesn't have the NFL cachet to overcome too many plays like this. However, he's definitely an NFL level player. He'd be wide receiver 2 in Kansas City today." That was all in all caps. "Again, this was just horrible timing for that mistake. Hashtag evaluate the full body of work."
The full body of work. There's not much to go on here with that full body of work.
The full body of work is taking deep shots to him that don't come down. So
yeah. Not to mention that
wide receiver 2 in Kansas City.
Yeah, I mean, a team that basically has Rashee Rice and what? You know, the ghost of MVS past at receiver.
Yeah, Kadarius Toney. Richie, I'd take Richie James over him. Give me a shot at Toney. I don't know. It's not true. You're a bozo for thinking that. Let's go like a 8.5, maybe 9.
I'm going 9. Like, yeah. I loved everything that I saw out of this team. I mean, hell, we got a freaking Sean Clifford rainbow to Melton for 30.
That was awesome.
Like that, I will still stand by my statement that he does not have an NFL arm. We're talking about whether or not somebody has NFL caliber skills. Because that ball, I think, was higher than it traveled downfield. But that was still a fun moment.
Yeah, no, that was fun to get that out of him.
Yep.
Defensive side of the ball, they made some plays, man.
Pass rush was unstoppable in this game. 14 Preston. Hits. Yeah.
Oh, my God. Oh. What did Christian Darrisaw do to you? What did he say about your family?
He found the fountain of youth or something in this game, man. He was a monster.
Yeah. I can't remember him having that good of a game in a while. So. Yeah. That was pretty exciting. Thought the interior line held up pretty well for, you know, all these guys are kind of getting a little banged up at this point, and you know, the linebacker situation isn't any better. The Isaiah McDuffie injury was weird.
Yeah.
I thought it was a head just based off of the replay, right? Head or neck. Because you know, once your neck smushes like that in a three-way tackle, it's not a great thing. But then like he was hobbling off of the field, so I thought it was a leg, and you know, he's putting his body weight on other guys and he ended up getting carted. He's not playing against the Bears. I don't know what exactly is the injury there, but like, he's not playing against the Bears.
What they at least announced, I think, officially mid-game was that he was undergoing concussion evaluation.
Right, but
Now,
that's what flipped me back and forth because the timing, right, was
yeah.
you see the replay, you think it's head or neck, maybe a concussion, but a head or neck. He's standing up, so it's not a head or neck type of thing, right? Like they wouldn't have done that. Then he's walking off the field, he's putting his weight on two trainers as he's walking off the field. So you're like, it's probably not head or neck concussion. It's probably something in the lower body that we didn't catch. And then they announce it as a concussion, and then the cart comes to the sideline to take him to the locker room. And it's like, whoa, that's like it was a concussion that was bad enough that it like impacted his ability to walk off the field and into the locker room, 2 and 5 minutes into it, like
Yeah.
after contact. Like that's,
It
there's
that
no way he's
was
passing protocol.
no, agreed. I mean, I think we're I think Devondre's made it pretty clear that he's not going to play through anything, so I think we can look forward to a lot of Eric Wilson next to Quay on Sunday against the Bears.
Yeah, I think that's what we're gonna get, and I think Wilson played fine enough.
Fine. Yeah.
Yeah, I mean Wilson is again one of those guys who's on an NFL bubble. He gets on really to play special teams and stuff like that, but he's not a. I mean, all of these guys are so much better than what's his name that from TCU.
Ty Summers.
Good God, dude, that's a guy where I'm like, how did that guy last on an NFL roster so long? Is that guy even in like the USFL or whatever the heck they call it? I know they just changed the name of it.
Oh man, I don't know, but
He's on the Saints. I
no
can't believe
way.
it.
Holy cow. Well, he's playing
How?
exclusively he has not played a snap on defense. He has only played special team snaps this season. So
Good Lord. I mean,
74% of their special team snaps, but yeah, hasn't
14
been on the
special
field.
teams games.
I
How is this dude in the league still?
mean, he can run fast and straight, a straight line. So
But that, yeah, that's part of the problem is like even on special teams, you ask him to turn and it's like, oh my God. All
yeah.
right. Whatever. Not my team. I don't have to deal with that. So, thought the defensive backs played pretty well. They had a pretty good game plan for Justin Jefferson, which was basically just, hey, if he's in trips, we're just going to play quarters to it. If he's, the isolated X receiver, we're going to play cover two to it. They're basically, have someone in the low zone dealing with it and have someone over the top, to put it in the simplest terms. That's basically been their game plan the last couple times that they played Jefferson, and it's kind of worked. So,
Yeah. I mean, I thought Corey Ballantyne in general had a really good game. I mean, he had the pick on the tip ball over the middle early. He had a couple other pass breakups. And I think he gave up one or two completions maybe, but you'll take that type of performance, especially out of, your CB4 on the boundary
Right.
against a guy like Jefferson. Give me that every day.
Yeah. I still think the biggest worry for this team is, you spread them out and then you can kind of attack them in the from the slot, right? And I think that's kind of when we saw like Jordan Addison be able to make some plays and stuff like that. So not that worried against that Vikings team because again, they wanted to be so condensed and stuff. I don't think that's going to be an issue for the Bears either, and except for like third down. I think third down might be able to give the Packers a little bit of a problem. But we'll see how that thing plays out. Justin Fields still needs to deliver the ball. Defense vibe checks. I'm gonna go, I guess I gotta go like an eight, like 7.58, somewhere around there.
I'm going to. I'm still so scarred from those previous 3 weeks. Like, do I think they're going to play a better game against the Bears, than that? Yeah, I think so. I think that, yeah, I think this defense will play well enough to probably give the Packers a really good chance to win the game. But what is my overall level of confidence in this defense, winning a playoff game, especially if they have to go to like, I don't know. They have to end up in the seventh seed and have to go to Dallas, for example.
Dude, Dallas is a bad matchup for him. And I know you
Yeah.
guys don't want to hear that because of McCarthy and stuff. They're going to put CeeDee Lamb in the slot, and they're going to spread people out, and
they're
going to be
eat
ugly.
The middle of this Packers defense alive if they do that. So I am hoping that Detroit ends up, you know, with that number two seed if the Packers get the seven. I would much rather go to Ford Field, play Detroit, than have to deal with Dallas, especially in the dome. So yeah. I don't know. I'm at like a five. I'm done with Barry. I'm also not confident, like you said, that after kind of what we saw or didn't see in the locker room, that, you know, his job is in jeopardy as we all think it should be. So I can't get myself to go above a five right now, just about this defense as a whole. If this pass rush shows up, you know, the way it did on Sunday, you know, then all bets are off. So, yeah. But that's kind of the key is if they can keep getting pressure like this on, you know, on Fields, then on, you know, whoever they might play, knock on wood, in the wild card round, then, you know, then we'll have a shot. But it's been so sporadic at times that I can't bring myself to be more confident than that.
Yeah. And we're not going to get that, you know, we're obviously not going to get that five seed. So we're not going to play the NFC South.
Yep.
And then three teams you really don't want to see, right? San Francisco, Philadelphia. I think those two are more because of their run games, and then Dallas because of, you know, they are a little bit more of a traditional, like, spread West Coast offense team than what you're really seeing in the NFL right now, where everyone wants to be the under center boot action stuff. But, you know, Dak is more of a kind of Peyton-y type of quarterback. Like, if you want to think about him like that, like, he's going to control stuff at the line of scrimmage. He's going to want to spread guys out. So you have to kind of declare what your defense is going to be, and he wants to kind of pick you apart and stuff. So we'll see. We'll see what ends up happening. The Lions is probably the best matchup for the Packers in that first round. But
yeah, I think so.
You know, Dallas can't stop the run for crap. So, like, maybe that breaks in the Packers' advantage. There's certainly ways, you know, past the victory. It's not like they're going to get blown out, I don't think, in the first round. But we'll have to see. Yeah. Special teams, we got a muffed punt. We got one kickoff return. We got two punts. Neither of them landed in the 20. We got a missed extra point. But Anders did hit both field goals. I don't like a four.
Yeah.
I don't know. You guys look sloppy sometimes, man.
I don't remember any penalties. So that's my only my only real saving grace at this point. And Whelan only had to punt twice, so good job on the offense, not giving him much work.
Did they punt after the McDuffie injury? I can't remember what they did.
Let me see if I can.
Because McDuffie being hurt, Devondre being out, you know, Quay playing all those snaps.
That injury happened with them. I'm right on the edge of field goal range. They got back in because that was, you know, sacked, loss of 10. They got back and got like a 9-yard gain, and then Joseph hit a 54-yarder. So that was the.
Yeah, I wonder if someone, if the Bears try to go after their punt protection next week, because that's a unit that they've had to change out a whole lot of stuff up front. Again, keep an eye on that extra roster spot. I would assume that they're thinking about bringing back Musgrave. Sounded like Musgrave wanted to play this week, but the team isn't going to, you know, rush him back to the field. I also wouldn't rush him back to the field if someone has an organ injury. That's a pretty tough thing to evaluate. I'd rather be on the safer side than have him deal with that in the offseason.
Well, and frankly, Kraft has been so good and so consistent, you know, just in the last couple of weeks, and doing the yak stuff that they were asking Musgrave to do for most of the season anyway. You know, I don't think there's any reason to rush him back to that you feel like you need to have him on the field.
Yeah, it would have to be like more injuries at wide receiver in like practice, and then you're just like, we gotta play way more 12 or even 13. Man, this young offensive unit. So exciting after the first half of the season just being like, are they going to take to coaching ever at all?
Yep. Yeah,
All right.
it puts us in a good place. And hey, we made it almost, 40 minutes without talking about Jair. So hey, that was fun.
Oh, goodness. I guess we got to talk about it. Weird that he got suspended for conduct detrimental to the team. Weird that they said it was multiple events and not just him going out to the coin toss. Don't know really what that means other than like maybe they're talking about him talking to the media about when he got hurt in practice and he said that it was the backup quarter or the practice squad quarterback lining up at tight end, who ended up injuring him and stuff like that. Maybe there's more stuff happening behind closed doors, but the way LaFleur talked about it, he was like, "Yep, we had a conversation, and communication's going to be better moving forward, and it's all solved up." The report that Schefter had, where he was like, "The Packers are considering trading Jaire Alexander, before his, I think it's like an $8 million roster bonus kicks in March." Don't believe it. I like literally just do the math. That the dead cap to trade Jaire would make him the so it would be the highest dead cap ever for a non-quarterback in the NFL. It's just not happening. It's not feasible. He's literally in year one currently of that 4-year extension. I know he signed it last year, but he already had that year on the books. They added the 4 years after that. They converted his salary into a signing bonus this year, which only added more dead cap. There's no way. There's no way it's happening this offseason.
No, and yeah, looking at the math, even if they did it before the roster bonus was due, so he's got a cap number of 24.3 mil in 2024. So if you do it before the roster bonus comes due, he's still going to ch cost $19.5 million in dead cap. Yeah, you could save a little bit of
No,
cap
so
hit.
I think that that's only including the signing bonus.
I
So
think
there,
I'll
there,
have to.
there,
Yeah,
I
the
the
only
number that I came up
th
with and Ken checked it off was
Okay.
27, was 27 million, and I think that is because it's including the what do you call it? The salary that got converted into a bonus this year,
Okay.
so that's like the restructure bonus or whatever the heck it is.
Yeah, then if that's the case, if they, then that's, yeah, you're taking a $3 million hit on your cap just to trade a guy away.
Right.
Who's already got a, 24 million cap it. So no,
It's not
it's not
happening.
happening. That roster bonus is already primed to be a conversion to signing
Yes.
bonus money.
That's
And that's money that's going to get kicked down the line into the last couple of years of the deal. Probably add another void year onto 2028 or something. So no, I don't see any pathway that he is not on the team in 2024 at the very least.
Yeah, so the Packers are going to have something like $10 million in cap space if you're looking at it right now. That's not including things like, hey, Bo Melton, you might want to give him like the ERFA tag, right? And that'll be like $1.5 million or something like that. And you have to sign your rookies, and the Packers are going to have plenty of draft picks, right? So that's not including any of that, any extensions, any outside signings. I don't expect them to be super active in free agency, but they might look after, add a guy like Keyshawn Nixon or Devondre Campbell or, some special teams guys, stuff like that. I put it on a Twitter poll just so that I could like document where, fans are at this point. And the options were, trade Jaire, what are the Packers going to do? Trade Jaire, keep his contract the same, or convert his salary into a signing bonus. I think they're going to convert his salary into a signing bonus and use him as, one of the few ways that the team can create cap space moving forward. So, no, there's no way they're getting rid of him. It's just not happening.
I mean, they can do about 13 million in conversion between his roster bonus and his base salary for 24. So you're punting, four-fifths of that. So, you can lose about what, 11 million or so, push it off into future years. I mean, for a team that's as strapped as they are in 24 and then has, as many as th things open up as much as they do in 25, that seems like a pretty easy decision to me.
Great way to end this
Yeah.
podcast.
Hey, we just beat the pants off the Vikings after Kirk Cousins went out shirtless and pretended to blow the horn to fire up the crowd. That's always worth celebrating.
Stupid clap, that stupid horn. I hate it so much. I guess I always think like I'm like, oh, we're not rivals with the Vikings, really. Like we just think about the Bears and beat them down. But I do hate that fucking horn, and I do hate those claps. Yeah, keep it tuned to the feed. We're gonna have stuff up this week. I don't think I'm recording with Andy, so don't expect anything on Tuesday. Look at the injury reports. That's going to be extremely important moving forward. The Packers are doing something with that roster spot. Yep. I don't know what they're – I think it's Musgrave. Maybe he's playing this week. Maybe he's not going to play until the Bears game. They did open up that 21-day window. So if they're going to use him, you know, in the playoffs, you know, moving forward, they're going to have to do it at least by the week of the wild card round. So I think that's what they're sitting on that thing for. We'll see.
Go Pack. All right, buddy. Talk to you next week. Go Pack Go.
What does it take to be an entrepreneur, and how is it changing in our ever-evolving business landscape? This is Scott Galloway, host of the Prop G Podcast and an entrepreneur myself. Right now, we've got a special three-part series running all about the future of entrepreneurship. We're answering your questions on work-life balance, how to raise capital for your business, and more. Because when you're an entrepreneur, it's always important to look ahead at what's to come. So tune in to the future of entrepreneurship, a Prop G Pod special sponsored by Mercury. You can find it on the Prop G Pod feed or wherever you get your podcasts.